Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Atlanta! Well, that escalated quickly last night. How are you doing, man? Dukes and Bell on a Friday. You know, after a tough loss like that, and I guess it's not as tough when you know you're really out of it as they just keep piling on the home runs last night in L.A., but I know it's good when I'm feeling down and I'm maybe going to overreact on a Friday that I got a partner who will talk me off the fence, a guy in Carl Dukes that will get me back focused knowing we're a resilient team and the sun will come out tomorrow and we will get it done either on Saturday or Sunday. What's that? I'm working with John Chuckry. Oh, never mind. Hey, Chuckles, what's going on,
the
man?
The sun will come out tomorrow.
Hey,
bet
man.
Bet your bottom dollar that tomorrow.
There'll be sun. Hey, man, we are a resilient team. First off, let's say, yeah, Chuckry is in for Carl today. We'd like to start the program with a big hearty.
Hey, man.
That was tough last night, John. I mean, you know.
It got away. You know what I mean?
Right.
It, a few innings in and it was 4-2. In all honesty, I tweeted this out last night. It felt like it could have been 5 or 6 runs, you know.
Right.
It could have been worse. And then, yeah, I mean, they let's hope that they used up all their home run capital in that game because
yeah.
the ball had no trouble carrying out last night. They had no trouble hitting home runs last night in that thing. And
yeah.
Give the Dodgers credit. What is it? Is it seven wins in a row?
Seven elimination games. Right,
yeah.
That's
macho.
And that's a team which means, you know, we know all about the Dodgers. We've seen these guys, you know what, now this is a third time out of four preseasons, postseasons we've seen mm-hmm. these guys. We know what they're capable of. But, yeah, man, last night, and look, when you get down on a guy or you're disappointed in a guy, I got to set this, you know, typical Atlanta, John, I got to set the preamble because we were killing Luke Jackson because when a guy blows a 3-run lead, I'm not going to sit there and say, oh, no, it was just fickle fate. No, a guy inherited a lead and he blew it. And then, you know, we now know, heck, we could have closed these guys out. Last night, though, I got to be honest with you, very disappointed in the effort from Max Fried, who has not been good in Los Angeles.
I really thought Mike last night set up perfectly for the Braves. You know, the Dodgers have just been burning their bullpen, and they've obviously got issues. You know, they decided not to leave David mm-hmm. Price on the roster.
Right.
Been burning through bullpen arms. And they got, you know, like Gratterall last night. I mean, he got 6 outs on 14 pitches.
Couldn't believe how easily he got through his first mm-hmm. inning of his 2 last night. I mean, you got to make the guy work, man.
Yeah. And their arms, Serger came out after his start and said, you know, dead arm and tired arm and all that. Man, they're using 8 and 9 pitchers a night, you know, right now for the Dodgers. And the Braves they couldn't capitalize. They didn't make guys work last night. And you're right, Max Fried. It was a disappointing on it. Looked good early. Thought, okay, yep. He's really got that curveball working. Things are good. And just, you know, these guys, once you can't keep the ball in the ballpark, Mike, it goes downhill quickly in today's game.
Yeah, and it just seems like it's contagious. You know, Pollock had 2 last night. Everybody's talking about the job that Taylor, who free agent, by the way, good year mm-hmm. to be doing this, right? But Chris Taylor goes for 3 home runs last night, had a chance for a 4th, actually. So the good news was, if you don't want to sweat it, you pretty much after the 5th inning had nothing to sweat as they kind of took it away, and the Braves, their 2 runs in the first, obviously, on the big fly, and I thought, man, Freddie hits the home run. We're off and running, right, John? Here we go. It's our night.
Yeah.
And then the rug gets pulled out from under us in the subsequent innings. And then the big inning where the wheels just fell off in the 8th took away any hope. So, and we'll talk plenty about it and we'll break it down. We'll also talk about on the positive side, got to spend about the first half before I want to get home and watch the Braves and the Dodgers. But I was at State Farm last night, John, for the home opener curtain raiser for the 21-22 season for the Hawks. And they blow out Luka and the Mavericks. It was awesome.
Well, it's the stifling defense. I mean, their defense last night, I mean, Luka had all kinds of problems, could not get anything going. And you see, when the Hawks are healthy and they have their full complement of players, and Hunter and everybody, and Cam and everybody, you know, their defense is just a lot. I mean, they come at you, and that was the story last night, is just they shut down their best player, their defense. I mean, the Mavericks missed 30 threes last night, missed 30 threes in that game.
Right.
They were 13 for 43 from 3-point land last night. It's hard to win in the NBA if you're going to miss 33-point shots.
Well, again, that is the NBA, too. It's either inside or outside, and there's nothing in between. Last night, though, we were laughing early because Cam Reddish seemed like he was taking every shot, and eventually they started to drop. And Cam Reddish, only guy who took more shots last night, was the guy you want taking the shots, and that, of course, is our superstar in Trae Young. Trae goes for a double-double last night, also a double-double for Capella on the boards and in the paint scoring. It was just a fun atmosphere, a late-arriving crowd with traffic. It's funny because I left literally with like 5 minutes to go in the first half, and there were people still filing into State Farm. So, again, a lot of people also wanted to get in, and I know I'm guilty as charged, of getting their new gear for this season because they've got some unbelievable duds for this year. But everybody was kind of making their rounds around State Farm. Eventually, people got in their seats, and they got to see the Hawks win going away 113-87. But, no, look, nice way to set the tone, right? And I know you were talking to me earlier today. Everybody's excited here in town except for a guy who spends a lot of time in town, and Charles Barkley.
Yeah, it was some strange comments for Barkley after the game last night where he almost pretty much said it was fluky what the Hawks had done last year, that, hey, you know, maybe they'll be okay if they get Hunter and Reddish going, but they're not. And the big thing that he said was that they weren't better than Philadelphia. He thought Philadelphia last year and this year is still a better team. And, boy, I don't know. I don't remember that. I mean, yeah. I'm not telling you Philadelphia is not a good team, but I don't think anybody watched that series and said, oh, yeah, Philadelphia is the better team. Trae Young and Joel Embiid wash each other out. The complimentary cast of the Hawks is, I think, much better than what, especially right now with what's going on with Ben Simmons.
Yeah, everybody, this morning I woke up and I got all these messages, look what Charles said. I'm like, well, first off, you know, we love Charles. And with all due respect, Charles, you know, he shoots from the hip, and sometimes, in this case, he's completely wrong because, you know, he was saying, well, wait till they get DeAndre Hunter, and, you know, can they Cam Reddish, can they stay? We didn't even have him last year, and we got to the Eastern Conference Finals. So the point was kind of, you know, lost on me. And I guess if he wants to be a contrarian, as you were saying, that's his prerogative. But we know what we've got, and you could argue we're even better because the East is a hot mess. Who knows when Kyrie Irving's going to play a full season? Who knows what the hell is going on with Ben Simmons? Who's going to take a mental health break? And I know we have to tread lightly around mental health, although I would say in some cases it's going to be used as a cop-out by athletes. But regardless, the East is still – there's no argument. There's teams that aren't as complete, John, as we thought they were going to be. And you could definitely pencil us in for a top three, certainly a top four.
Well, if the Hawks play this kind of defense, which they certainly are capable of doing – with Capella and with Hunter and everybody, if they can play this kind of defense, Mike, consistently, they're going to be a handful for anybody on any night. And look, I worked for over a year with the great Sam Mitchell, NBA Coach of the Year. You know, you're not going to get 82 great games out of any team in the league. You're going to have ebbs and flows, and there's going to be nights where you blow teams out and they don't care, and you get blown out and don't care. But when you play that kind of defense, Mike, and if they can keep that defensive effort up, that's what's going to be the difference in the Hawks this year, is just keeping that kind of magical run going, that they don't necessarily have to be better or more talented than some teams, but if you play great defense, you get teams missing 33-point shots. Like I said, it's going to be hard for any team in the league to beat you that night.
Hey, man, it is Dukes and Bell with John Chukri filling in today on a Friday, and appreciate John hanging in. You can watch us on Twitch. I apologize, John, for looking like a pool boy. I was just washing the car, and Becky's like, you know, you're on the air in 5 minutes. So I'm sorry, I ran upstairs, and I look like a total, like,
we're
Jersey Shore.
Fletch.
How you doing?
Right.
Not for nothing. Hold on, John, let me go downstairs and shave my arms and do some curls.
So we're on the Fletch again?
No, it's Twitch, you nitwit. Oh. Twitch. You go to Twitch and watch us, and you can see Ike the dog.
It's all about ball bearings right
and
now.
And see John Chukri. No, it has nothing to do with that aviation company. But John is in for Carl. We're also going to talk this hour. Matter of fact, next segment, Chuck Smith will join us. He'll preview what's going on with the, some would say, dysfunctional Dolphins. And can the Falcons get to 500? It's a game that, I'll be honest, I was kind of thinking that might be an L for us. But now, you know, they're kind of a team that's in a bit of flux. So we'll talk to big Chuck Smith. Also, we just mentioned the Hawks. Steve Koonin will give us his weekly visit. We'll talk to a guy that really knows the Dodgers intimately from all his time on the West Coast, Tony Gwynn Jr., our Odyssey baseball expert. And we'll get his take on it. Certainly, look, John, it's not a lie. We're not waving pom-poms to say we got to win one out of two, because that's what Snitker said. You got to just win one out of two. It's just because the Dodgers are such a boogeyman to this fan base, and the fact that we've let them slide off the hook now, you know, last year, and then one would argue we let them off the hook in L.A. this trip. It's hard for some folks to get your head around the confidence trip right now to Truist Park.
And I know the Braves made hay against Scherzer and Buehler, but let's face it, that is their two best pitchers. That's two of the best pitchers in all of Major League Baseball. And the series worked itself out to where the Dodgers get those guys both on full rest for Game 6 and 7. Scherzer will pitch in Game 6, and if they need Game 7, Buehler will do that. And that's the thing. It set itself up to let the Dodgers off the hook. That's what you just hate about
it. Yeah. So, again, guys, plenty of baseball, plenty of talk about the Bravos. We'll give you a chance to sound off as well. Chuck Smith on the way. Dave Archer will join us to talk about the Dolphins game. But it's Chuck Reed riding point up there in Colony Square.
Man, busy Friday. We'll be back. Sports Radio 910 The Game and the Odyssey.com app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, back with you on Dukes and Bell. Mike Bell, John Chuck Reed for Carl Dukes, hanging out with you on this Friday afternoon. 404-741-0929. That is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line if you want to be a part of the show. Well, it is a Falcons game day. Feels like the Falcons haven't played in a long time, with an early morning London game and then a bye week last week. Feels like it's been quite a while before we've seen the Falcons actually on the football field. But, of course, as we do every Tuesday and Friday, we get a chance to hang out with Dr. Rush himself. Chuck Smith joins us on the WadeFord.com hotline, Atlanta's Ford dealer. Follow Chuck on Twitter at ChuckSmithNFL. And, Chuck, you know, the Falcons have won two of their last three. Feels like they've got some things that they're starting to figure out. When you get a bye this early in the season, when you're still trying to figure some things out, is that a good thing, a bad thing? Where do you fall on, you know, a team trying to figure things out and then throw a bye in the middle of all of it?
I don't know. It's good to be here with you, Mike. And to answer your question, it's a good thing. Because when you look at some of the things that the Falcons have been talking about they need to work on, you know, pass rush lanes, everybody just doing what they're supposed to do, I think the Falcons feel good. Because when you think about it, the Falcons are in the mix and should be excited about having this opportunity. Think about it. The Falcons, Eagles, Niners, Washington, Seattle, they have two wins. Only the Vikings, Bears, Saints, and Panthers with three wins. The Cardinals, Pack, Cowboys, I think the Bucks and Rams have five plus. Listen, the Falcons are in the mix. Think about the Washington game. That's a game the Falcons clearly should have won.
Right.
So when you go into a bye week and seeing what happened before you, man, the Falcons, I think the bye week's great, and I think it's going to help them down the stretch.
That's Big Chuck Smith, Joe, from the Bomb Squad, talking about this week with the Falcons and the Dolphins. And, Chuck, we spoke with Omar Kelly, who covers the Dolphins down in South Florida. They're not really doing anything particularly great on defense. I was looking at the stats earlier. They are 22nd versus the run, 29th versus the pass. They're averaging about as many sacks a game as we are. Supposed to have a young, you know, really good secondary. I mean, what do you see when you look at Miami?
Thing I see is they're terrible on run defense. They're, what, 31st in the league. And when you think about this team, this is a team last year coming in and out, they thinking they're going to have Tua. He's going to be throwing the rock. Jalen Waddle, they think he's going to be catching big passes. And they think this offensive line that they've been trying to get fixed for like a decade was going to be better. But they're worse. And, you know, looking at some of the moves that Brian Flores has made, what, two offensive coordinators. He's fired multiple deep offensive line coaches. I think he's had, what, four D-line coaches or something like that in the last 3 years. So when you look at what they should have been, I mean, everything says they're trending down right now, man. They're actually terrible.
Chuck, no Dante Fowler. We got the word that he's going to be out for this particular game. How do the Falcons manage to get a pass rush against a couple of quarterbacks, you know, that they've given up some sacks in Miami this year?
First, listen, Miami, they're feeling themselves right now. They didn't give any sacks up last week versus the Jaguars. But when you look at this offensive line and you look at this defensive line, I mean, they haven't lived up to expectations. So, in my opinion, guys, I mean, the Falcons, with Fowler being down, this gives an opportunity for Mariner. This gives an opportunity for Ogundeji. If I said that right, I did. But the point being, I call him Big A. Yep, I call him Big A. Recently met this cat, so... The point being, with Fowler out, guys, it's an opportunity. And what happens in situations like this, this is a team that's starving for pass rush. So really, Dante Fowler being out, in my opinion, kind of hurts him, because I would like to see one of these other guys step up, and now we got a better storyline of some guys who can rush. Because Fowler's had his opportunity, guys. Let's just be honest about the situation.
Yep.
We've given him, you know, a lot of opportunities. So with him down, it's an opportunity. And I fully expect these edge rushers to step up and have good games.
That's the thing. It's a big Chuck Smith joining us here, guys. As we're looking at this defensive line, it's been, like, some of its parts against Washington. And, Chuck, I don't know how much it means because, you know, like, Giants used to use, like, that NASCAR package. A few weeks ago, we've gone out with Marlon Davidson banged up, or Tyler Davidson was out, or, you know, even dudes like, you know, Tuohy Mariner, which isn't exactly, you know, big names for some of the fans. But how important is it to have all your guys in that rotation to stay fresh on defense?
That's a good question because – in the new NFL, everybody, look, there are a lot of snaps. The offenses are getting more plays than they ever have. So having a great rotation is huge. That's why when you look at some of the guys that have been down that should have developed, you look at it from a rotational standpoint, and that's big. You want to keep guys coming in and out. And with the Falcons having that bye week, hopefully the guys that were down are ready. Hopefully the guys that are fresh are even fresher. But you got to have a rotation, and I don't know about no NASCAR package right now. We got a package, but it ain't quite NASCAR yet.
More like Busch Series?
It ain't NASCAR yet.
All right.
Yeah, it ain't NASCAR yet. I know you're a big NASCAR guy, but it ain't NASCAR yet. But it is a work in progress. It won't get fixed this year, but we'll see what we got, and it'll start this weekend in Miami.
Every Tuesday and Friday, Chuck Smith joins us here to get ready for Falcons football. And, of course, on Fridays, you know what we do. It's a big on big.
Chuck Smith previews the offensive and defensive lines. Big on big on Dukes and Bell.
All right, Chuck. Dolphins, Falcons.
You
what
ready?
You got for us this week, man?
Bring it.
O-line bigs versus the Dolphins D-line bigs. Listen, number one, I want to see a lot of Mike Davis and Cordell Patterson get it going. This defensive line struggles versus the run. There's some great matchups that this Falcons team has versus this Miami Dolphins defense. First, I think it's going to start off with one thing you got to do. You got to stop Emmanuel Agba. Double-digit sacker last year. Let me tell you what's going to be much watch TV. Mike, I've been talking about right now Jake Matthews. From day one, I said he's been having, you know, a hell of a season. And he's starting to get it. People are starting to give him his roses, man, or his flowers, right? They're starting to say, you know what? He's been on a really good job. So I really like that matchup. It's going to be must-see. But the interesting part is going to be Caleb McGarry, if he's ready to go, is it going to be Drew Dahlman? And he'll get a chance to see Agba. But let me tell you who the sleeper is, guys. Watch out for Jalen Phillips, the rookie first-round pick out of Miami. He's been nicked up. He's been hit or miss. I think he has 1.5 sacks. But he has great potential. If Dahlman's up and McGarry's down, that's going to be a push. Now, I don't know who I like in that one, but I'm leaning a little bit towards the rookie because I haven't been really as impressed when I got to see Dahlman. But the point being, Dahlman has an opportunity, okay? So now let's go big in the inside. Let's go. Falcons interior O-line, Lindstrom, Hennessy, and Mayfield. They got a nice battle. Former Clemson Tiger. Listen, I like Christian Wilkins. He's their best run defender. He's big. He's tough. And he gets a tiny bit of pressure, like a tiny bit. So you'll see Raekwon Davis, Bama kid. He's still raw. And you also see John Jenkins, OG, you know, run stuffer out of UGA. So it's going to be really interesting, man. I really like this matchup with the Falcons offensive line bigs versus the Dolphins. The Dolphins have been struggling. Stop Emmanuel Agba, run the ball interior. I think the Falcons will be okay. Now, let's go on the other side, guys. The Falcon defensive bigs versus Miami. We just talked about. They didn't give up a sack last week. But the quarterback still got his head beat in, okay? So let's call it. They're all excited. But think about this now. This is crazy. People wonder why Tua is struggling. Listen, two OCs with no experience? Listen, and we've complained about OCs in Atlanta here for the last decade. Can you imagine if we had two OCs right now, Mike, here, and what you would be saying?
I know, right? Well, they had Chan Gailey's playbook last year, which book for millennials is a large book. So yeah, man, I guess he did throw for a ton of yards last week in London, but there were still throws he didn't make, including a bad pick. So, and then Chuck, how much does the Deshaun Watson rumors come into play here? I heard Waddle say, look, they're focusing on what they focus on inside that locker room, but you know, they can't be ignoring all this talk about the owner interested in Deshaun Watson too.
News, you know what they say in the locker room? Man, where's Deshaun at? Where's Deshaun at, man? We want Deshaun Watson. Come on, man. That's like literally, I mean, he does come with a lot of baggage, and I don't, you know, I mean, that's just part of it. But this is the NFL. People are willing to do whatever it takes to win, particularly when you look at Flores. And I mean, his job is on the line. Come on now. This has been a downer for them. And but look, part of the problem is, look, they've the last five, you know, they've used five draft picks over the past couple of years trying to fix. I mean, let's be real, a disaster of an offensive line is still a work in progress. And I got a big board, y'all. So look, every year I got a big board of the top 50 players at each position. And on my big board, I cannot find one Miami offensive lineman on it, and it's 50 of them. So that says a lot to me, and as I'm evaluating, and they're not, and it's not even close. So when you're looking at some of the guys like center Greg Manx, I mean, he's the weak link. What I'm trying to do is I'm trying to get my two defensive tackles lined up in B gap and get Grady Jarrett on him. And listen, Grady should eat this week. Grady's super motivated. He's ready to roll, and I'm expecting him to clean his plate. That's how the D linemen say. The young boys say, hey, I'm going to clean my plate. You know what I'm saying? So look at that, guys. And let me tell you, they got the rookie. This is a great matchup for us right here, man. The Liam Eichenberg, he's slow. He has limited movement, big, really a big stiffy out of Notre Dame, but he's young. And to me, I can't wait to see Mariner and Ogundeci get against this cat in the battle. Because I'm telling you, I really like Big A. I really like him. I like Mariner. And I'm just saying, I'm excited about that now. One of the things where I think we have a huge matchup, in my opinion, I haven't had a chance to say these guys' names enough, the Falcons' interior run defense, Tyler Davis and Jonathan Bullard versus guards, versus the Miami guards, Austin Jackson, Robert Hunt, they have to be stout and shut down the run. I mean, this is one to watch, in my opinion. So those are the big on bigs on both sides. The Falcons do have an advantage, but I'm a believer in this, John, Mike. When you play at home, you just play a little better. You know, and it's just one of those things. You want the Falcons, I'd like to see them come out swinging. Jump on the fence fast, because I found this interesting stat that in the first quarter, this Miami Dolphins offense has outscored opponents 41-26, and they're one of the highest in the NFL. Falcons come out quick, throw some hands on them. Matter of fact, just body them like the Atlanta Hawks did the Dallas Mavericks last night. How about that? Right. They start out and just body them.
Hey, man, we're in the bottom third running the football, but the Dolphins are the absolute worst team as far as yards per game and rushing, Chuck. So that means we should be able to eat, right?
We'll be able to eat, but you know what's funny? It's a little misconceiving. Even though our number doesn't say, and usually your number is, people like coaches that coaches speak say, well, your number is who you are. Right. But the Falcons have had success in moments when they need to have it running the ball. So you go back, go in the meeting rooms, fix what ain't happening. I really believe in Mike Davis now. I'm telling you, I think if the holes are open, Mike Davis is going to hit it. I like Cordell Patterson mixing in there, doing some of the wide sweeps and continue to maybe throwing the reverse in there. I think the Falcons run, the offense is going to get better, and I think this is the perfect defense to get it going.
Well, it's a chance to get everything cranked up and going. You get a week off, and keep the winning train going here. Chuck, always appreciate it, buddy. Thanks for spending a few minutes with us, and let's get a victory on Sunday.
Like it's 3rd and 8. Let's go, Falcons.
Right on. There you go. Always good to talk to Chuck. Listen, the pass rush is going to be interesting this week, Mike. No Dante Fowler, and you know, I think Dante Fowler's played much better this year than he certainly did last year. You hate to already see this with the injuries and everything. This is getting to be the story of Dante Fowler's time here in Atlanta. Is he healthy and ready to go? It's kind of frustrating.
Yeah, I mean, just when you're starting to get some momentum for the guy, right? We start actually saying good things about Dante Fowler. Now we can put him in that mush category with the Falcons.
I know, and not exactly one of our strengths to start with anyway. So we get back, it'll be time to hit the headlines. It is Dukes and Bell hanging out on a Friday afternoon. Sports Radio right into the game and the Odyssey.com app.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Back with you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Dukes and Bell on a Friday afternoon. Mike Bell, John Chuckery in for Carl Dukes. Don't forget to follow us on social media. Stations at 92.9 The Game. Shows at Dukes and Bell 929. He's at Mike Bell ATL. I'm at JMCH316. It is the headlines brought to you by ATL LiveWell. Low testosterone doesn't have to keep you down. We can help. Call ATL LiveWell today. Don't just live, live well. Mike, of course, the big story. Braves did not clinch it last night. Had a chance. Certainly thought it would be a good night with Max Fried on the mound after the way he's pitched. Obviously one of the hottest pitchers in baseball. Dodgers broke out the whooping sticks last night, man. They went long ball often in that game last night.
Yeah, we started it and they finished it, man. Who didn't feel like so good after Albie's singles and then Freddie with that big home run and like the Dodger fans that were there, and again, there were a lot of empty seats at Dodger Stadium. Even after the traffic, it was so great. You think, hey, we're in the driver's seat, we got this. And unfortunately, you know, bottom of the first, Max gets through it, only one hit, you know, and then the wheels just seem to not come off, because a two-run lead, a one-run lead, that's nothing, right? It's not a big deal. It's just, unfortunately, mush. I expected more. I don't want to kill Max because we're not here without Max John, but I just really, really expected him to be dialed in, and everything was up and over the plate. It was a very hittable stuff he was throwing last night.
Yeah, his fastball was what they were timing up last night. I mean, he had the curveball working really well, but they were timing his fastball, and they were jumping on him early, too. I mean, right. they were coming after him quick. Snicker, though, says, you know, it's two good teams that are battling out here.
You know, we got two starting pitchers that are well rested. This is what this NLCS is about. I mean, there's two really good ball clubs, and you got to play. You know, you got to execute and everything. You know, in order to get out of this. I like where we're at.
Look, the Dodgers were not just going to fall down, Mike, and just lay down in this. I still think that they have been the best team in baseball all season long. I know they were one game less than the Giants and all that, you know, coming down the end. But still, I think the Dodgers have been the best team in Major League Baseball. And what just kind of sucks is, man, they've burned through their bullpen so much. And you saw, you know, Kelly pulled a Rodney Dangerfield last night. Ooh, my arm. Ooh, my arm. I think it's broken, you know. And
yeah, bicep injury. Like Squidbilly says, he's not a fake tough guy because he was willing to scrap with the Astros, which I think we all respect because the Astros are dirty cheaters. But, he literally was like, oh, and for those who are not catching the Caddyshack reference, when Rodney Dangerfield taps out of his match with Judge Smales. And hold on, Judge Smales, Dr. Beeper, and Ty, there's your foursome.
Yes.
And then Danny's got to step in as the alternate. But anyway, sorry.
Don't sell yourself short. You're a tremendous slouch, Judge.
Danny Newton. But yeah, I thought, you know, they're really in a great spot. But again, they can go and they carry all these extra pitchers and they've got to develop these pitchers. They can go with an entire game without one Braves batter seeing the same pitcher twice. You know, our bullpen is our bullpen. It's been fantastic. And we've talked about what a great job Matzik has done. You know, last night, I mean, you know, by that time, the game was out of hand, so it was a moot point anyway. But by the time you get to Chris Martin, and you know, and Martin is a guy that has had his ups and downs, to put it mildly. But you needed Max to give you a strong outing, and other than eating some innings, it just wasn't there.
Yeah, look.
How nervous are you? Because let's spin it forward. Ian Anderson kind of made his stripes last year with no real experience and was thrust into the postseason. He went three innings the first game against the Dodgers. I mean, is it too much to lean on him to step up to the plate here and give us a strong outing and close these guys out on Saturday?
No, in all honesty, Mike, I think the Braves have a better shot in Game 6 than they do in Game 7. And I think that's my honest opinion, is that I think the Braves have a much better shot to win Game 6 and close this thing out than they do against Walker Buehler. And I'm a huge Walker Buehler fan. I think he's one of the more underrated great pitchers in Major League Baseball, because he gets lost kind of sometimes in the shuffle of having Kershaw and Scherzer, and when they signed Trevor Bauer and all that stuff. But you look at how good Walker Buehler has been. And look, he's done a lot of good things. I know he got beat around by the Braves, but right. You look at what he's done, you know, in the last couple of years against Atlanta. He's just a guy that I don't like matching up against. I think the Braves have a better shot in Game 6 than Game 7. I would love to not have to get this thing to a Game 7. Just close this thing out, be done, and get ready for the World Series. As by the way, Red Sox and Astros get ready to break things up in Game 6 tonight.
And, man, you know, we talked about the umpires, and, you know, there were some strange calls in the series, certainly. But last, if you look at the series, the game, what was Nate Eovaldi was on the mound when they didn't get that call strike. It was clearly not on the black of the plate, a ball that's over the plate. Ump misses it, and it just changed the entire trajectory of that series as the Astros now in the driver's seat. So we'll see. I know that some people say that, you know, the reason why you're hearing so much, you know, look, why the media and why the play-by-play announcers are leaning towards the Dodgers is everybody wants this revenge series with the Astros. Well, we've still got something to say about this. You heard the soundbite we played earlier with Freddie Freeman, you know, saying like, yeah, that's the narrative. Everybody's going to talk. Look, when you blow a 3-1 lead and you're in the process of blowing another 3-1 lead, you're going to have to answer questions about it.
Yeah, and I'm rooting for the Astros because I love the fact that everybody tests how big of cheaters they are, and all they do is just keep winning and winning and winning and winning.
Well, the only reason I would have any modicum of support for the Astros is how cool I love Dusty Baker. I always loved him as a kid.
And I hate the Red Sox,
I hate the Red Sox.
Hawks last night, home opener. It was on TNT. Big event, obviously. Trey, Luka, a lot of buzz around the Hawks. Trey Young talks about how deep this squad is after a 113-87 blowout of the Mavericks.
That's a good thing about our team. We can go deep into the bench. We have guys in foul trouble, guys out for whatever reasons. We have guys on the bench who can come in and make plays and step in right away. So I think it's a good problem to have.
Hawks put the defensive clamps last night on Luka in Dallas.
Mike. Yeah. And there was a couple of times Squidbilly was like, that's an illegal defense, even with the Mavs trying to pull some shenanigans. They still couldn't get their shots to fall. And again, stifling defense. Talked about Cam Reddish launched a lot of shots, but a lot did eventually go in. Talked about Capella doing a great job. I mean, they just team defense, man. And again, DeAndre Hunter, before he got injured last year, that we got him back for the Knicks only to get hurt again. John, he is the glue guy, and you saw it last night. Again, so it's just so great to see them start the season with not just a win, but a demonstrative win after all the talk about Luka, Trey Luka, and they just beat the brains out of the Mavericks.
Mavericks last night missed 33-point shots. They missed 62 shots overall in that game last night. 62 shots that they missed. I mean, they hit 31 shots and missed 62. I'm not a mathematician, Mike, right, but if you are basically only making one out of every three shots that you're putting up, feels like you're going to have a long night, and the Mavericks did last night.
That is a TP, not toilet paper. That's a them problem, brother.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Browns last night, they get it done against the Broncos. No Baker Mayfield. A lot of, how many more injuries is Baker Mayfield going to come up with, Mike? Because, good Lord, I mean, he's got this, he's got that, he's got labrum, he's got this. I mean, good Lord.
It's the humerus, which obviously, you want to make the punchline, nothing funny about that, but that's the bone on top of the shoulder. It's the non-throwing shoulder, but, like, you still got a square, you're still going to take contact. So, you know, I love these. Only normal, you get out there with a jacked up shoulder. So he's out. Bad for Baker because it's a contract year, and he's the one guy of all the guys coming up for contracts I think most fans would say is the shakiest, right?
Well, the Browns aren't letting him go. I mean, with all due respect.
That number is going to be an insult to him if I was running if I was a GM, because to me, it's just he does enough, but you still got to argue when they're healthy, the great running attack. I can't break the bank for that guy because I still don't trust him to win the big one.
What's your answer, Mike? What's the Browns' answer?
I mean, they're going to have to, but yeah. I mean, but to put him in that elite, you know, that again, Mahomes type money, yes. I can never do that.
He's the next guy up. That's quarterbacks in the NFL. If you're the next guy up, you get paid. Fair, unfair, what have you.
This goes all the way back to when Kirk Cousins got his deal and everybody else. I mean, yeah, you're right. You think about Garoppolo. But of all the guys, boy, I just cannot. I would literally have to do a shot before I sign that check.
We get back. Speaking of the NFL, it'll be time for our NFL Blitz. We'll talk a little bit more about Baker Mayfield. It is Dukes and Bell on Friday afternoon with you, Sports Radio 910 The Game and on the Odyssey.com app.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.